Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
It is the start of Pediatric Cancer Awareness Month, and the Fairy Godmother Project, our focus this morning. We're going to talk about pediatric cancer and some things going on in the area and some groups, some different things you can get involved with to be involved and to learn more about this. Andy McConnell back with the Fairy Godmother Project. Andy, good to see you this morning.
Good morning.
Also here, Amy Hardy. Amy, good to see you again.
Good to see you. Good morning.
And Leslie Leahy is back this morning.
Hi. Good morning.
As it's setting this whole thing up, one of the things I thought about in talking about pediatric cancer is, there's never any way to prepare for it. Every family that gets involved in this, you never think it'll be you, and it that's just the way it is.
Yes, and it was me. It was Amy.
And it wasn't me, but statistically it could be.
Yeah. No, and I think the thing that I most remember in the case when I dealt with it was I was so unprepared, because when my son was first sick, it took just a long time to be diagnosed, but it wasn't until closer to the diagnosis when all of a sudden I thought, eventually you run out of small things that they're looking at. But other than that, you get sick and you get better. And that was what I always thought. And I hadn't really known anybody. And then a whole new world opened up.
I think that's true. I think about that with cancer. Anytime I hear about someone being diagnosed, there's always that, that's the big worry. Oh, God, I hope it's not cancer, because when I Googled it looked like it could be. But yeah. You're in the back of people's heads are thinking, but it won't be me. Yeah. My kid won't have it, or I won't have it. And then in reality, you just really never know.
And then it so surprised me as we got into it, just how many families there were. And it was a whole new world to me.
Yes, for me, it was a simple bad back, like a backache for Kaylee. And, then it morphed into cancer so quickly. And within a day, we were at Children's National Medical Center starting the trajectory of cancer. Mm-hmm. And not a good cancer, a bad cancer, but they're all bad.
Yeah. Yeah. And then and you also went with then, it looked like she was in remission.
And then
you went through that.
Got again, round two, ding, ding. So it's never what you want it to be, but I can honestly say we can kind of look at our community here, and they have been such a support for us to help us through these really hard, hard times.
Yeah. Andy, you got involved with Fairy Godmother Project, and this all became personal to you based on with what a friend was going through.
Right. So I met someone, and when I look back on it, pediatric cancer kept popping up through the years, and I guess maybe it was sort of like I was meant to be doing this. I just wasn't catching a clue early on. But, I had a little girl in my class whose brother had DIPG, which is a rare form of brain cancer, and he passed away. And I remember looking back on that and thinking, oh, I should have done more for them, but I didn't know what more mm-hmm. meant. And then years later, a neighbor down the street had a child who had survived cancer and, popped up again. And then I moved back to Virginia, and a little girl in a group I was in, a twin mom group, because I have twins and this little girl's a twin, was diagnosed with a rare form of brain cancer. And finally, I guess I thought, oh, I guess maybe now's the time to actually do something about this and start helping. And it just kind of evolved. That was back in 2009, and here we are. And then as time goes on, I become more and more passionate about the fact, when I get closer to the families and see the impact that this has, I realize the need for the support. And also just how brutal it is. I was just talking about, I think I was telling Leslie, actually, when a child's terminal, my therapist helped me see that it's like I'm looking at this family knowing a train is coming, and I can't stop them from the train hitting.
Yeah.
And I know how much that train's going to hurt when it hits, but it's nowhere near as painful. It's so much more painful than they imagine. And just that whole piece of it is so hard to articulate, but also not a conversation I can have with someone who has a terminal child. You know, they have to, I guess, learn it for themselves. And then we can just hope that we can, you know, surround them and support them and make it, I don't know if we can make it easier, but make it a little bit different experience.
Well, and Leslie, you talked about the community getting involved, and boy, the community for both Kaylee and Amy with you with Josh, it was just it just amazing. Gives you goosebumps sometimes to see how everyone really pulls together.
Yes, it was absolutely amazing. We, you feel sort of isolated, but yet there is. Love that is coming through in so many gestures of meals and just care packages and cards and texts. I mean, it's just, and then when you hear about the things that the community did to try to help Josh get the medicine that we were trying to get from, anyway.
Yeah.
It was truly amazing. Like the what was the foodie with the hamburger and the signing the petition.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And there were people that were going to go pick it in front of the, you know, there was groups that were going to drive to North Carolina. I mean, it was really amazing. Just, and then this year, you know, when the city schools did an amazing job for us with helping us adopt our room for Josh at the Ronald McDonald House in Memphis. The high school, the track team with their lap-a-thon, was absolutely jaw-dropping when they presented the check to us, and it was exactly what we needed to complete.
Yeah.
And then the elementary schools and the middle schools, they did, you know, Jeans for Josh Day and sold T-shirts. I mean, it was truly amazing, truly amazing.
The first time I ever – I mean, I had heard about Josh's story, and then some people I think that were from your church or somebody had sent me contact and said you ought to get to know the Hardys. But the first time I ever saw you was when you were making Josh's case for the medicine on these national shows, and you were so composed and since then you've told me you just went in with your heart and said what you thought. But boy, that was an emotional time.
It was, and it was by the grace of God that I did not cry on national TV. And I think about it now because I cry at Hallmark commercials, and it was amazing. I look back at it now. I don't know how I did it because I do. I cry at everything.
Yeah, so. You were awesome, and that whole experience with when they were trying to get the medicine for Josh. You know, you think about the awfulness of cancer and all those things. And then when you're on this side of it, not your side of it, and you see the community come together. I mean, I stood at Foodie and people came in droves to sign. It was one of the, you know, like the if you can look at the goodness, it was one of the most amazing days ever. Just seeing so much good. I mean, so many people showing up, like, we have to do this, taking time out of their day. I mean, some people were like, oh, I don't want a burger. I'm just here to sign. I mean, I just stood there. I mean, droves of people came through. It was one of the most awesome days, sort of like that same, you know, the community coming together for Kaylee. Mm-hmm. Like, whenever people talk about, oh, there's so much bad in the world, I'm like, you know what? Spend a day doing my job that everyone thinks has to be awful and hard, and you will see more goodness than you ever imagined existed in the world, especially in this community. You know, I can't speak to another community, but I just know Fredericksburg, it just really comes out when it matters.
No, I was just going to say that the whole Kaylee situation, because she was – the two of you were here 2 years ago today.
I know. It was on my little time hop thing this morning and the picture.
Yeah.
The picture.
Say no more. But and again, the whole thing with the composure, because Leslie, I didn't meet you until after your family came back from Colorado, because at the Rocky Mountains and everything. Because in that interview, Kaylee talked about that was something that she would like to do, and that just took off. And I hadn't met you until then. Kaylee came back and did a follow-up interview on our sister station, B101.5, and that's when I first met you. But I just remember thinking, just the composure you always had. It was just like Amy.
Well, you can be strong, and you can also still cry when you're strong, but you also can be, you know, celebrate the joy of everyone coming together and making something so bad so beautiful. And, you know, when we came here after Kaylee went to Colorado and our family, it was, she felt right at home here. You gave her a voice, and we were just so thankful for that time. I call it Fredericksburg Make-A-Wish.
Yeah, it really was.
Because it really was pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. You had a great day getting signatures. We had an amazing day with the community raising money to have Kaylee fly to the mountains.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Oh, it was because Jennifer Reynolds kind of – because you were gone at the time.
I went on vacation.
When
yep,
everything kind of took off, and all of a sudden we were raising this huge amount of money in like no time, and we weren't prepared for it.
Right.
And so Jennifer Reynolds kind of took over.
Yep, she did an awesome job.
And kind of organized it. And she would text me or call me during one day and kept saying, well, we're at this number. When somebody's gonna give fuel. And it was mm-hmm. it was just really amazing to see.
Yeah, and the person who donated the money for the fuel for the plane wanted, you know, we explained to her, because she emailed me and explained to her, like, it's not a tax write-off. This isn't. And she said, I don't care. I just want to do it, and I want it to be anonymous.
Yeah.
So never wanted her name revealed, and it was 10 grand, wasn't it? It was like $10,000
something like
or something.
That. Yeah, that
yeah.
Was...
And someone donated their plane. I mean, it was just an amazing, and nobody wanted any accolades for it. That was the piece. Like, I reached out to the person who donated the plane, and I said, would you like, you know, we have a lot of following on Fairy Godmother Project's page. Would you like me to give some kind of accolades to your business? And he said, no, I don't want any acknowledgement for this. I thought, I mean, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, people, you know?
Yeah. It's the start of Pediatric Cancer Awareness Month. Annie McConnell with the Fairy Godmother Project here this morning. We'll talk about the Fairy Godmother Project. Amy Hardy here and Leslie Leahy here. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Fairy Godmother Project, our focus this morning. It's the start of Pediatric Cancer Awareness Month. Andy McConnell is here. Amy Hardy is here. And Leslie Leahy. Amy, you've got a great shield, and we're going to talk about that in a second. Before we do, though, just to kind of set that up, for the person who doesn't know who Josh was, talk a little bit about Josh.
Well, Josh was the loudest, funniest, just lovingest kid you could ever meet. He is our third son of four boys. Todd and I just love each one of them and so proud of them. But Josh... at 9 months old, was diagnosed with a rare form of a malignant rhabdoid tumor, which started in his kidneys. And off and on for 10 years, we went through cancer 4 times. And the first two were locally in at VCU. And, of course, we went to Sloan Kettering in New York. But then we ended up going to Memphis at St. Jude, and that just opened up a whole world to us. You know, when we went for a clinical trial, at St. Jude, was really kind of the last train out. And it was absolutely a miracle what that clinical trial did. The people don't usually survive rhabdoid. And he did this trial, and we had 3 beautiful years of no treatment. Hmm. And then, but the treatment that he did when he was an infant, the first 2 go-arounds, caused all sorts of complications, and ultimately he developed myelodysplastic syndrome, which I can't believe I remember to say that properly, which is a precursor to AML, formal leukemia. And we had to do a bone marrow transplant, and that's really when it got really hard. I mean, it was hard before, but it was really challenging. And our family was separated because of where we chose to do treatment, and it was amazing how the Fredericksburg community, but also the Memphis community, is so loving. I mean, it's amazing what pediatric cancer actually does. It's this horrible, ugly monster, but yet it makes you acutely aware of the little things in life that are so important in preparing for Josh's celebration of life, I sat down and went through every file of pictures we have, and I collected every photo I have of him, and I have just shy of 6,000 photos. And that sounds crazy, but I am so grateful for them right now because I have him on a digital picture frame, and every time I look at it, it's like, gosh, he only had 10 years, but he had such a full life. We went to games. We went to family events. We went to amusement parks and movies and crafts, and he painted, and he just loved life. The only thing I'm sad about is that I don't think he realized the impact he had on the community with his immune system being compromised. He never really got to be around a lot of people, and he didn't get a chance to see. I mean, I could show him, but I don't know that he ever grasped how the community was so loving and caring towards him and towards us.
Yeah, no, it was such a story that everyone just was pulling for him and doing so much. Mm-hmm. But you do think about just the technology that you were able to get all the probably more pictures than in any other time you could have. Yeah. So that's a great gift to have.
It is.
So talk about the shield.
Well, it was so the last time I was in here, we were getting ready to do the JM Lapathon mm-hmm. that was going to help us raise funds to adopt a room at the Ronald McDonald House in Memphis, Tennessee. Josh loved that facility, I guess you'd call it, but it just was a passion. And so on August 18th, we went to Memphis to dedicate the food pantry, which is really funny because he loved the food pantry. He'd be so happy. His make-a-wish dream was to actually go be on the Food Network and be a judge on all the food competitions. So I just felt like the food pantry was appropriate. But anyway, they knew how much he loved superheroes, and another charitable place had this shield made for him, a Captain America shield, and on the backside of it, it says, issued to Josh Hardy, manufactured by Stark Industries. And they presented us that during the room dedication, and it was really an amazing thing. But it really just kind of set off, like, all right, it's time to start focusing on our superhero celebration, because we're going to do that again this year, and we want it to be hopefully even bigger than it was last year, which was absolutely amazing last year. And this year we want to add in a fundraising element to benefit the Fairy Godmother Project.
So when is it, and how can people get involved?
Well, it's October 27th at the Fredericksburg Expo Center, and it will be from 7 to 11. We will, just keep an eye out for sign-up sheets. We're going to have various volunteer opportunities.
And we have an event on our Facebook page, too.
Yeah. So, but definitely make sure you have a costume. You must wear at least a cape. come with a generous heart, because it's amazing what the Fairy Godmother Project does for the pediatric families of Fredericksburg. The bereavement part, I don't know what I would have done had we not had, I call her my Fairy Godmother, even though I have to
no,
share.
No, it's mine.
No,
it's ours.
It's ours. But I was so thankful for her guidance, and just even after everything was done, we just get together and we just walk, and she helps me normalize my grief. And I just really hope this is a huge success, just so that we can benefit the Fairy Godmother and honor Josh and have a good time. So there's three goals.
And superheroes was kind of his thing.
It is definitely his thing. His last Halloween, it was kind of funny. He filled 10 years of Halloween in one month. He dressed up every day. He was we had a homebound teacher that came, and so every day they both dressed up for the one week in October, and then we went to the St. Jude Halloween event, and then we have a little place in the Northern Neck that we go to that has a great Halloween party in Reedville, Virginia, and then we actually did go trick or treating, and he wore a different costume for every single day, and it was really. He just loved it. He loved dressing up. And he was, even when everything was going really well, he always had a football jersey on, or he had a superhero, or he had army fatigues. He just loved just stepping out of who he was and just, being something.
I would
different.
See the, see, and I only knew him from the pictures, but in the pictures I remember thinking different times, he's just all boy.
Yes. He really was all boy.
And I didn't know when you said at the beginning about how loud he was and everything. Yeah. I didn't know
well,
about that.
Funny, we had to live in Memphis for a while, and we actually did bring his three brothers there with us, and we had this place that had this nice little courtyard, and the brothers would be out in the yard playing baseball, and he's sitting up in the chair on the porch, and he's going, "Bulk, you cheated!" You know, totally keeping the game fair.
Yeah.
Because he, you know, he wanted to be out there, and if he had been out there, he probably would have ended up crying because they were fighting and somebody did something wrong. But yeah, he just was all boy.
Well, one of the things when we talk about nice things in this community that I'll never forget was when the JM football team for Kaylee honored her
at the football
game.
Beautiful event. Yeah, and Kaylee went through a big pile of athletes.
Yeah, she did.
And they all, like, at the end, I think some embraced her and said, "Oh," and she knew so many of them. But, you know, like Josh. In fact, Kaylee knew Josh. They got to meet at an FGP event and
at the Christmas party.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and we were both so hopeful. I just so remember it.
I remember it. I had no idea that by the next Christmas we would be where we were.
Yeah, yeah. And for us, we are celebrating Kaylee three times a year so far. We are doing a day of service in the community, and James Monroe High School has taken it on as one of their events because service was really important to Kaylee. And so we are getting ready to do our day of service on October 14th, which is also a really special day because that evening there is a fundraiser for the Fairy Godmother Project, a Low Country Shrimp Boil.
At Jay Bryan's.
Mm-hmm. And I love the Jack and Karen Hyland, because Karen said, boy, it's going to be a day of service, and at the end we get to celebrate at Jay Bryan's.
We're going to talk about that. We need to hold that thought because we're going to come back and do that. And I did want to mention that, Amy, the JM football team last fall, your son made him an honorary captain, and that was just terrific.
Yeah, he was a freshman, and on senior night they made him an honorary captain and then presented us with a helmet for Josh, and that was amazing.
Yeah.
Actually, I contacted Coach Dyson yesterday and asked if the football team this year would wear gold ribbons on their helmet in honor of Kaylee and Josh, and they said that they would. So
we're
excited. Isn't that nice?
It is nice.
Yes.
So I just want to announce, you know, Pediatric Cancer Awareness Month during the home football games, and, you know,
it's
awesome. Keeping our kids alive, their spirits alive.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And that's what's terrific. We need to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue this with Leslie Leahy, Amy Hardy, and Andy McConnell. It's the start of Pediatric Cancer Awareness Month. FairyGodmotherProject.org, the website to find out more about the good work of the Fairy Godmother Project. We'll be back on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:32.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
The Fairy Godmother Project, our focus this morning, fairygodmotherproject.org. Andy McConnell here, Amy Hardy is here, and Leslie Leahy here. We talked about a couple of events, and we went real kind of quickly over the day of service, Leslie, so I wanted to come back to that for a second. You said it's October 14th. Is it like the day of service you did in the spring? Because I got to see that up close, and that was a very cool day.
Yes, this is the same event. This is actually the third time we're hosting it. So we hosted it first time October of last year, and then we did it in the spring. And so this will be the third time offered, and it's from 8 to noon on Saturday, October 14th, and we are getting all the projects in line. This year we're teaming up with Habitat. Habitat actually takes students as young as 16, so we are getting students involved with Habitat. And the Hope House will be doing some decorating at the Hope House. We'll be working, having volunteers for Fairy Godmother Project.
Yes, to help
in preparation for the superhero party.
Yeah.
And we probably will work with Downtown Greens. And this year we're also going to be working with Tree Fredericksburg. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be planting in the College Heights area. And the Friends of the Rappahannock will kind of bring that in, and that we just got another one. It used to be called Hospice House, and it's right across from James Monroe High School, and we've been asked to help something there. And interestingly, Kaylee volunteered at Harbor House in a youth bereavement group of all. And when she was in eighth grade, she and a bunch of friends spent a year. Wow. So come full circle. So you can get involved through James Monroe High School. It's also Kaylee Leahy Day of Service at gmail.com if you want to learn more about it. And we'll take anyone, but it's a lot of JM students will be participating that day.
And a little background on Kaylee. Kaylee was
amazing.
Yes.
Right.
She was. She really was involved ahead. with service. Both when she before she got you mentioned being in eighth grade before she was sick and then after she was sick.
Yes, in high school, I always say Amnesty International helped Kaylee find her voice, and it was the megaphone. And I think that what it will always be on the day of service posters is Kaylee was just very much advocating for human rights and equality, and that carried on her first year of college at UVA. She joined Habitat for Humanity. She was always out protesting whether it was fair pay for all the workers, the cafeteria workers, and the everyone on campus, and making sure that the tuition hikes weren't going to exclude people from being able to afford college. So she just had that love of service.
She sure did. I think I was telling you the last time I was in here that we're getting ready to revamp our website, and I was going on the current one, and she was one of the editors on our current one. And, I mean, like, I've actually thought to myself, well, maybe I'll just pay for that, like, personally, just to keep her name on there. And I thought, I need to get a grip. But she was, you know, doing volunteer stuff for us. She was going to start blogging, and then she, you know, kind of started to not feel as well as we had hoped. But she did some stuff last year trying to get the two years ago, trying to get the Fredericksburg City to do gold ribbons. She, like, reached out to people. You know, she's just always advocating for anybody who had a need, you know?
Yeah, and she even went back to Children's National and volunteered in the teen room. She was the origami, the queen of origami. And that was a real special place for her to be with older children because the Children's National is not just for the littles. Yeah. It has 20 and 30-year-olds as well.
Someone just mentioned her origami to me, and I had forgotten that. Like, two of our volunteers, we were talking about Kaylee, and one of them said, oh, yeah, and she loved making origami. And I said, and I felt like, wait a minute, how do I not know this? Mm-hmm. I said, she did? And, oh, yeah, and they went through this whole thing. And I thought, wow, just to think about the impact. You know what I mean? Here are these two volunteers who didn't know her all that well, but they knew her story and they knew, you know, enough about her.
Yes, and, you know, enough about Kaylee. I want to talk about the Fairy Godmother Project because I happened to be part of the fight to keep Kaylee alive and to live a long life. And Fairy Godmother was there through it all. And they did these services that, you know, we all take for granted. Like, they cut my grass. I got haircuts. We got gas cards. I got so much love and support. We had our own volunteer coordinator that just asked us, what do we need this week? Yeah. And it was about the family because Kaylee got so much attention and so many services. But our family was struggling, and they were there for us. And thank you. I wish every community had a Fairy Godmother Project.
Yeah, I always think about the day that I met Leslie for the first time, and we were at 2530 Espresso because they are huge supporters, and they let me do coffee dates with our families, and Kaylee was there, and Leslie started to cry, and Kaylee said, my mom's kind of a crier, you know? And I was like, okay, but it was with their lead volunteer, Rhonda, who was such a wonderful support to your family. I mean, gosh, what a gift she still is. And Leslie's actually the only family who has received was the first family to receive every single service we offered. So they were the first family to experience our Stargazers program, which is, you know, providing support when the child is dying. And beyond. And they were the first family. And, you know, Leslie would joke, like, we're the guinea pigs. And I remember thinking, but I didn't want you to be the guinea pigs. You know?
No.
I just really didn't. Not that I wanted anyone to be, but that Kaylee.
Yeah. And, you know, it's through FGP that I met Amy. And a great stargazers group. And the Fairy Godmother Project has a lot to keep us together, and our kids were of all ages. So it really is unique.
And we try and do different things. Like Amy and I kind of do different things with each mom that works for them, you know, if they're open to it. Amy and I take walks, because Amy walks and walks and walks. And Tuesday we're doing a first day of school lunch, just getting all the moms that are available together, because first day of school is really rough.
I never thought of that, but yeah.
It's brutal. Because it's such a bittersweet day, you know, here they're sending off their children, but you know, one of our moms this year is really tough. Their son should be starting high school and all of his friends are starting high school, and it's really hard. And it's hard to watch as their other children are getting beyond the age where their son was when he passed. And, I think it feels pretty unfair. So we're doing, one of the moms said, you know, do you want to meet for lunch? And I said, can I open it up to all of the stargazers and see? And so we have a good group going, and we're just going to go out to lunch, and, we're going to Sedona, cause they're huge supporters of Fairy Godmother Project, and just be together, because it is a hard day. It's a hard time of year.
And if when someone finds themselves in the position that when you need the Fairy Godmother Project, does somebody recommend them to you? How do you go about
becoming a family? Well, it's interesting, as time has gone on, it used to be word of mouth, and we typically would get families, you know, kind of far into their treatment. It's like, you know, like the Leahys, it was almost at the end of Kaylee's treatment, and same thing, it was years after with Josh. But now, because we have developed relationships with the different hospitals, it's usually quicker. So the hospitals know about us. And I'm happy to say that it's almost like the minute someone hears pediatric cancer now, they're moving to the point where people go, oh, do you know about Fairy Godmother Project? Mm-hmm. So that's great. And then they just fill out a form online. It's very simple. We have to get a confirmation of treatment from the hospital, and that's it. And usually we provide support. Typically, it's as long as we get that documentation, within 24 hours, we're ordering the gift cards, we're getting cleanings ready. You know, we have one family who – the child was diagnosed, it was on a weekend, it was like a Sunday, and we had someone cleaning their house that week. And it was so great, because they had to come home. They had just been told all about the immune system and how compromised it would become. The child has leukemia. And bam, she was like, oh my gosh, my house has been cleaned. We had, you know, like all these things in place just immediately. So we try and do it as fast as possible, so that they never feel that gap of not having support, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Now, you mentioned about you wished, you know, that you didn't have to know everyone in the situation. And I remember having dinner with you and your husband last year, and you and John, and saying, you know, I'm so glad I know you, but I wish I could have known you in a whole – and the same with you, Amy. You have brought so many just – the stories you've – and the people you have brought in over the years, but you just wish it were – a different situation.
Absolutely. I just actually said that to Courtney Harris. Her son Carter died in 2009, and I didn't know them. Fairy Godmother Project was sort of on the in the idea phase when Carter was battling DIPG. And Courtney and I laughed, because I kind of stalked her, paced around her store that she owned at the time, but I knew I needed to go in and say to her, I'm really sorry about your son. And I got the guts up to do it. And then I paced in front of the store, then paced inside the store, and then finally went up to her and said, I just want to let you know that I've heard your story. And she has become such an important friend to me since, you know, we've known each other since 2010. But gosh, I would give all that up. And I just sent her a message the other day, and I said, I would give up all the joy that your friendship has brought me through these last years to have the outcome of your situation change. And, you know, I feel that way about every single friend that I've made through FGP. It's like the joy that I get from these, you know, these two women I'm sitting with, you know, and I was just telling Leslie this the other night, from the standpoint of being a mom, when you spend your time surrounded by these people who are advocating for their children and fighting for their children's lives and medical care and loving them in ways that you hope you never have to love your children, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's such an amazing experience. I mean, my gosh, I mean, the two of you, from the standpoint of advocating for your kids, I just, you know, it's a gift to me that I've been able to see that kind of love. I mean, you both, I watched you every day. I was just saying this Leslie the other night. She would show up at the Regional Cancer Center with bags of everything that Kaylee could possibly need. And I would think, my God, she must get up at 2 a.m. to get those bags packed. But she wanted to make sure that Kaylee was cared for, hydrated, fed, every need was met, that every single thing was taken care of. And if that isn't the most amazing act of love, I really don't know what else is. Yeah. So, and I said I wasn't going to cry today, Ted. Here we are.
Thank you.
Yeah.
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 Well, at least I'm not the only one.
Yeah. and Amy and Leslie, as you have talked, I just can't help but believe, and it doesn't make it any feeling any better, but as you've told the stories about both of their treatments, you just think that the doctors and researchers had to have learned a lot from their treatment and how they reacted in their lives, and you just think that down the line somewhere – I knew some people and some close friends of ours who lost a child about 10 years before my son was diagnosed, and I remember them saying the treatment he's getting is so different than what they gave our son. Mm-hmm. And
but it still has such a long way to go.
Yeah. Oh, it does.
Really
it does. Yeah, I know.
So we're more on that.
It's Pediatric Cancer Awareness Month. We're talking about with the Fairy Godmother Project this morning, fairygodmotherproject.org. When we come back, we'll wrap it up and talk again about the couple of these events taking place, and we'll talk about how you can get involved financially and help out and let the Fairy Godmother Project do even more than they do right now. Andy McConnell, Amy Hardy, Leslie Leahy here. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
It's Pediatric Cancer Awareness Month. Andy McConnell with the Fairy Godmother Project here. Amy Hardy is here. Leslie Leahy here. We're talking about the pediatric cancer in general and in really ways that the community can get involved. And one of the things, Andy, is that what you do has expanded a whole lot since even I first met you.
Sure,
and
has.
Lots of people are involved, and there are a lot of ways to get involved.
There are. And this month we combined forces for a campaign called Heart of Gold Campaign, and we work with Strong for Down Foundation. They raise money for neuroblastoma research, mm-hmm. and also for Sly Strong 6, and they do numerous things. In addition, their main focus is a scholarship program for kids and in honor of their child. So we work with them, and this year we're doing, you know, we always go gold for childhood cancer. September 15th, we're calling Gold Wear Gold Day, and we're asking everyone and anyone in the community to wear gold ribbons, and we also are doing a walk that night, free, just a family fun event, meeting at Old Mill Park, and starts at 6, and we will walk just shy about a mile. It's not like, it's really more about the awareness than it is about, like, no one's winning this. It's just a walk. Mm-hmm. And we did it last year, and we had a great turnout.
I remember that. You did it on first. Yeah. I think you did it on the first.
We did it on the first, and we decided to go with the 15th this year just because we thought maybe we could get more momentum, get more engaged if we gave a couple weeks to do it. So we have that going on. We also have our Stardust Ball, September 22nd, being held at the distillery. And it's a great event. It is sold out. We may have a couple tickets that pop up. We are working on a couple of things right now. And it's going to be great. It's a silent live auction, and we have one of our moms is our speaker this year, Melanie Noakes, who I've brought in before, mm-hmm. and she's going to do amazing. She's had a little bit of fear of public speaking, but she's decided she can get over it for the night. So hopefully,
she's got a great story because she came in here with you.
Yeah, she sure does. And the Stargazers program is actually named in honor of her child Lily, because Lily's her Stargazer. She came up with the name, and because of my experience with their family, that program exists. So she definitely has a great story.
On the 27th at the Expo Center, Amy, is when you're having the superhero celebration.
In October.
October 22nd, yes.
Yes, October 27th.
27th.
27th, yeah.
See how many things I can get wrong.
Friday before Halloween, which just makes it fun.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes, I'm hoping for a great big turnout for that. Last year, it really fell together miraculously. I mean, in a very short time, we put together a big event. And they told me when I left, they thought about 450 people were there. And it just... It was a sad moment, but at the same time, it was a very uplifting moment to see. Like, there were 450 people that were there. I only saw four people that did not have a cape or some form of a costume on.
Yeah, it was like, amazing. It was really awesome.
Some people went all out and had these amazing costumes, and some people just, you know, put a cape on, and they were super granny and super grandpa. Yeah. And it was just so supportive, just putting on a costume. Because adults feel silly doing that.
But they loved it. I mean, everybody got pretty into it.
Yeah. And then the kid events were so great. I mean, we had craft tables and cakewalk. Josh loved the cakewalk.
Yeah,
and
the cakewalk
that was
fun.
A very important component of it. And
DJ and dancing.
Dancing. Actually, the last hour, I finally just stopped moving around and talking to people, and we just danced. Of course, my teenage son said I should never dance in public again, but I still had a great time. It was amazing. So I'm really hoping that we can recreate the spirit and the fun of last year. I'm looking forward to it. And I really can't wait to see all the faces and the costumes. Sometimes you don't see the faces because of the costumes.
October 27th at the Expo Center, the Superhero Celebration. Is there any place we have more information on this?
Well, right now we just have an event post on Facebook.
Okay.
But I'm going to try to promote it and say, okay, you know, really, we're trying to iron out a few of the details right now.
Okay.
But yeah.
And the Expo Center has generously donated the space this year. So that's really great.
Oh, terrific.
That is fabulous.
Yeah. Very nice. Mm-hmm.
Get a big group together again.
Yeah, it's
and
kid and
do it
adult
again.
Friendly. So that's the great thing about it.
Yes. I think all kids and all adults had a great time last year.
The Kaylee Leahy Day of Service is October the 14th. Mm-hmm. The Stardust Ball is September
22nd.
Boy, this segment can't get over soon enough. And the website for Fairy Godmother Project is fairygodmotherproject.org.
You got it.
Well, thank you all
for
coming
so
in.
Much.
And it's a tough subject, but I'm glad you could come in and talk about it and let people know. And you just figure, unfortunately, there are people out there that are going to go down this road, and that it happens. Andy McConnell, Amy Hardy, Leslie Leahy, fairygodmotherproject.org. That's it.
Thanks
for Town
for
Talk.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.